Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord for this time we're able to share together as I carry on a message I began on Monday, which I've entitled Sowing to the Spirit, based on Galatians 6:8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And to understand that, I read a number of verses in the fifth chapter of Galatians, where Paul is very specific. He talks about the works of the flesh, their manifest, which are these. That's verse 19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And then a very, very serious warning, those who do such things, and by that I should say make a practice of that in their life, deliberate, without repentance, continuing in that, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And one of the things that the Lord is having me focus on is it lists emulations, and other translations say envyings or jealousy, but it means envious rivalry. And I want to, because there's so much of this in the world and in unregenerate man, or even sometimes among Christians, God wants us to walk in the flesh, to sow to the Spirit, not the flesh, that because of various reasons, and we're going to look at that in more detail, I started yesterday, that God wants us to avoid antagonism, controversy, ambitions against one another. We see this in every place in the world. There's competition. And sometimes that can be good, but in a positive way, that people will try to improve on knowledge that has been established, or results have been established in science or politics or market, whatever it might be. But the what I'm talking about, and I trust if you've been listening, you have an understanding that it's the negative aspects in our life as Christians that God does not want us to harbor. We don't have to strive with one another. Why? Because God has given us the understanding, as we really read the scriptures, that we have been blessed as a unique individual creation of God. Every one of us have talents and abilities. No single person is the same. None of our fingerprints are the same. Our DNA. God has has used his creativity to create from Adam and Eve. Every single, can you imagine the billions of people? But why? He's God. That's not a big deal for him. And he enjoys doing it. And he loves each one of us individually with the same fervent, passionate love as a father for his precious child. And so there really, when you understand deep spiritual truth, there's no need to, I'm speaking in a negative way now, be in competition with other people. There's no need to be jealous. There's no need to be ambitious. You just need to be the very best version of who God created you to be. And most of us will always say we agree with that, but we started yesterday to begin to look at reasons. Why would somebody be proud? Why would somebody be ambitious? Why would somebody be so taken up with competition? And, you know, I actually know people like that, that, you know, they have to have the final word on everything. They have to be the expert. And that really, when you have spiritual understanding, it comes out of personal personal need, how they see themselves, and they're trying to compensate by their actions, by their words. And the thing is, God wants us to receive ourselves the way He has created us, not the negative things, but that He wants us to flourish and blossom, to be the very best that God has created us individually to be, the image that was in the heart of God before creation. That's how He sees each one of us. He sees us totally perfected. We'll be that way when we're with Him. But the point is, we need to start now. And everyone has some image of themselves, whether it's good or bad. And the attitude, the image, the self esteem or how you look at yourself affects your attitudes, your behavior, how you proceed, your thought patterns, how your relationships. Thoughts produce feelings, and feelings produce actions, positively or negatively. And so when we don't really feel good about ourselves, when we're constantly comparing ourselves to others, and obviously things like this can happen when it can start as a child. It can be instilled, this self-rejection, and there's serious consequences to that from parents, perhaps, or family, or teachers, or friends in formative years when you're growing up, and life experiences, things you've gone through. And it, if you're really honest with yourself, then I'm going to be praying that God gives us a true picture of how we see ourselves, as perhaps it's been formed by the words of others, the actions of others. And God doesn't want us influenced by what others have said or done to us. He wants us influenced by how He sees us. And so what I'd like to share with you, I'll start today, are some serious consequences of self-rejection. And I think if you've ever gone through something like this, I think you'll be able to relate. First of all, it's depression. You can feel rejected, not as good as other people, because of your appearance or how you view yourself, your abilities, your upbringing, the things, the opportunities you had as a child or didn't have growing up, your environment. And if we're not careful, this depression, this sorrow, this feeling badly can turn to resentment, and that resentment will then turn to self-pity and then to depression. Now, Jesus never succumbed to that. He knew that he was created by God. He had a mission for God. He always sought to do what the Father wanted him to do. He never felt self-rejected. He was rejected by others, but he never wavered. He knew exactly who he was. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But he is our example in every aspect when it comes to, especially the realm of our emotions. I mean, our spirit man, when we've accepted Jesus, we're saved. We never can improve our spirit. We're saved, and we will be perfect in all aspects of our being when we are with the Lord. But our soul is something we have to deal with here and now. Our body, this is just temporary. It is still under the effects of the curse. Unless Jesus comes, we will go by way of the grave. But our soul, that's where we have complete authority. Sometimes people want to just, you know, they have advice and remarks about everybody else, but when it comes, this is one area where you have total authority and power, beloved. You yourself can, with the help of the Lord, can really, with the power of the Holy Spirit, change how you have been. Even if you've been, say you've had a problem with anger for years, don't feel you have to go to your grave with that. Well, it's just the way I am. Don't ever say that. That's the way your flesh, your carnal person has been. But in Christ, when we're weak, then we are strong. He will give us the ability. So depression is one result or consequence of self-rejection. And of course, it's evident, secondly, there's a lack of faith in trusting God. You're trusting your own abilities, your own, what you can do. And also, when you think of it, it's basically a rejection of God's design in you. He's working with you. We're all a work in progress. You are still being molded and fashioned by the hand of God. And he does that by the days of our lives, the things we go through, the good things, as well as the things that aren't so good, the bad things. We have to trust God that our times, that's literally scripture, are in his hands. And he is perfecting that which concerns us. Another result, and these are all very unhappy things as a result of self-rejection, and that is rebellion. You can get to feeling so bad, and you see that especially in the youth. A lack of self-acceptance will kindle a fire of rebellion toward anyone in authority over you. A certain amount of that is sort of natural in the teen years in terms of trying to find and relate to one's own individuality. But we see rebellion in such forms in all levels of society today. And that rebellion can be toward parents, toward your boss, your employer, your spouse, God even. And we need to be really brutally honest with ourselves. It can be hidden for years, as in case with children. But you know what? Someone secure in themselves can submit. You know, I've shared personally with friends, I don't think I've ever said it on the broadcast, but I'm a very strong personality. And I'm so grateful for the upbringing I had, because I had 14 years in a Catholic school. Those who, not just attending Catholic Church, but in school. And I tell you what, you learn submission and you learn discipline. And while I might not have been happy with it at the time, I am so grateful that, you know, you can't be a leader without knowing how to submit. I've learned those lessons, and it has spared me a lot of anguish, because I don't have a lot of issues other people have, because by his grace, he has worked that out in my life. I don't have a problem submitting. And the real problem is that can be lack of submission to God. So anyway, there's so much more I want to share, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. If you have prayer needs, if you're struggling in any of these areas, God knows we all need help and encouragement and support. So I invite you to write and share whatever those needs are, or even if there's something you don't feel comfortable in sharing, just say it's a personal request. Just pray for me. And so I'll do that and confirm receipt of your letter. Thank you so much for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.